quite a storyteller. An electionary committee did not see fit, and I agree, to cut these nice long stories, although it does make a long reading, I understand. But as I sat there and I read through this reading, I thought, where in the world would you cut it? You need it all there. But there's one phrase there that really leaped out at me, and it's probably partially because it appears in the chapter before. It says, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, I like the dramatic. I would love there to be a moment like when you're standing down in, say, Mammoth Cave, and they turn out the lights. Have you ever been in a cave when they turned out the lights? There is no blackness darker than a cave when they turn out the lights. You can know that there's somebody next to you, and it's like the blackness even smothers the sound of their breath. And then they turn the lights back on. And I see this wonderful, blinding sparkle of stalactites and stalagmites and the light refracting off all of that ice, and it's dazzling. When I hear Jesus say, I am the light of the world, I want that kind of experience. And I wanted to go, ah, yes, Jesus. And boy, then I could really go out and proclaim Jesus with so much assurance and joy. And yet, it doesn't always happen like that, does it? And our stories that we've been reading over the last successive weeks through John are stories about the real way in which we get to know Jesus. It's not a flash of light. We have Nicodemus who comes in the dark of night and he leaves still wondering, how in the world am I supposed to be born again? And he leaves discouraged. Then we have the lady at the well in Samaria, the Samaritan woman. She first sees this curious man at the well. What's the world is he doing sitting out here at high noon in the heat, unable to even get himself some water? And he asks her, a non-Jewish woman, a Samaritan, for water. Curiouser and curiouser. She finally decides that he is a prophet. And then she goes away questioning and saying, could he be the Messiah? And when the townspeople come back and say to everybody gathered there, he is the Savior of the world, I bet she's right there with them. The Savior of the world. And now today we read about the man born blind. This man is not even asking for Jesus to intervene or do anything. He's just there. And the disciples go, well, who sinned? This man's mother or father? And Jesus says, neither one. He's blind so that we can reveal God. This man born blind has the clearest vision of anybody in the story. Because he sees the reality of the church leaders and that they really are the ones that are blind, who have totally closed themselves off to the possibility of Jesus being anything other than a nuisance. This man born blind, when they first ask him, how did you get your sight back? Well, he says, well, a man named Jesus put mud on my eyes. This Jesus. Where is he? I don't know. No big deal. But then they choose to make more of a deal out of it. And the church leaders invite him, I bet, really gently, to come and talk to them. Explain how this amazing thing happened. And he explains it. And then he calls Jesus a prophet. They still don't want to listen to him. We'll go talk to the parents. And the parents say, well, we don't know how he got his sight. They don't want to say anything because the church leaders will kick anybody out of the synagogue who says that they believe Jesus is the Messiah. Now, if you're kicked out of the synagogue, it's like being kicked out of your family. Everything you know is rooted in that synagogue. It's like if I came in here today and said, if you said that you believe that John Brown is really the president of the United States, and I said, out of here, you can never come back. Everything they knew, everything that rooted them in life would be taken away. And so the parents say, we don't know. He's of age, go ask him. The leaders of the church call him in again. And he's probably going, oy vey, didn't I already tell him this? I already told him this. They ask again. This time, he explains to them, well, he's got to be a sinner, doesn't he? Says, no, I don't think so. All I know is that I was blind and now I can see. I have told you already and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Oh boy, what nerve. He's just asking for it, isn't he? You want to become his disciples too? And they start putting him down and reviling him, and he says, they don't know where this man came from. Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person blind from birth. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Jesus is not just a prophet carrying the word of God out to the world. He is sent by God. I believe this blind man is so perceptive, he recognizes that Jesus is not of this world, that he is not mere flesh and blood human being, but that he is directly from God. And of course, the churchmen drove him out. Because he said what was true and they did not want to hear it. He said what might open their eyes, but they were uncomfortable with something so new and different and startling. And so they ran him out of the synagogue. And Jesus heard about it and sought him out, and he says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Which is Jesus basically saying, do you believe in a man who will save you from your sins, who will die, who will be raised up? And the blind man, or the man now who can see, says, who is he? Show him to me. And Jesus says, I am he. And the blind man says, I believe, and worships Jesus. Wow. What a story. Isn't it wonderful? To have that revelation directly to the heart. And yet, it doesn't always happen that way. We don't have the blinding light on the road to Damascus experiences. We don't have these one-on-one conversations with Jesus. We don't feel Jesus come up with a mud pack and put it on our eyes so we can see when we've been blind. Gaining our faith and our understanding of Jesus is a very gradual process. And it begins with little kids who sing so full of trust and believe, "Oh, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so." That's it. Remember singing that when you were a kid and how much trust and faith you had in that God who loves you and Jesus who loves you? And then life happened. We get our knocks. Things don't go right. We get sick. We're injured. Family members die. Good friends desert us. We become more cynical. Our faith is not as easy as it was when we were children because we have matured. We can question. We can doubt. And yet Jesus keeps coming to us again and again, saying, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And we have to fight our way through all of the doubt, through all of the negative life experiences, through all of the things that might have cut us off from that God and that Jesus we used to trust so totally. So we go to the Word of God in Scripture. But it's not written totally in stone, you know. We Presbyterians say it is the Word of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. These words on the page are always the same, but they shift. They're shapeshifters. Because we read them one day and they mean one thing to us, and we read them a month later and, "Oh my goodness, I never saw that before." And we as a denomination look at these words and we think, "What do they mean?" And so words that were once interpreted as saying slavery is right are seen to be totally against the love that Jesus taught. Totally against that idea of what Jesus was teaching, that there is no slave, Greek, Jew, as Paul writes. And so, we changed our minds on that one, thank goodness. We read Jesus' words of divorce, and I'm thankful that we have had new vision and understanding of those, because God and Jesus taught life giving things. What restores us to life? What feeds us? What gives us life? And if you're in a relationship that's abusive, where somebody is unfaithful, where somebody demeans you constantly, that is not life giving. It is life bleeding. And so we read the Scripture again, and we grow in our faith and our understanding of God and in of Jesus and Jesus' teachings, and we go, God intends us to live together in love that feeds us and nourishes us. Thank goodness we shifted our understanding of ordination also, or I would not be standing here as a preacher, ordained as a teaching elder. We are not meant to be like the church leaders, Pharisees as John calls them, who are so sure that they are right that they will never change what they believe, say, do, or anything else. It always has to be the same way. Jesus healed on the Sabbath. That was an important law, observe the Sabbath. And Jesus repeatedly healed on the Sabbath because healing somebody and restoring them to wholeness is life-giving, life-affirming. And that's what Jesus teaches. As we look at Scripture, we have to continually look, study, pray, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts so that we will no longer be blind, but see. So we will no longer see the Scripture as stone that freezes people, but words of warmth and love that can liberate us to know God's love as we share it in loving relationships with other human beings, as we share it in marriage. God is a God of life and love. God created Adam and Adama, two creatures. Adam and Adama, pretty similar there. Not much separates them. God created companions. Companions. Because God did not want anybody to be alone. Our understanding of Scripture helps us also shape our understanding of Jesus. Our display out here in the narthex, I hope you've been looking at it. How do you see Jesus? Go look at those pictures. How do you see Jesus? How has your faith in Jesus grown, or is it frozen in time, unable to be shifted at all? Because your faith has to be rigid, or maybe it's not really faith. Let us open our hearts to Jesus. Who do we say he is? In John, Jesus says, I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the good shepherd. I am. I am the great I am. Who said to Moses, I will be who I will be. Who do you say Jesus is? Is it growing, shifting, changing? Let Jesus be the great I am. Let us pray. Oh God, open our hearts to your living Spirit. Fill us with your power. Help us to know you, to know Jesus as Savior, Messiah, bread of life, light of the world. Help us to know him as I am, the one who will be what he will be. Amen.